Ang bang mahinom ng anak sa inyong pinabuhi diya ay kanya.
The man child is in revelation but in a very young dupi. Man child, the man child is a copper of body's life. A member of copper of body's life. Kita na ang man child.
Ang diya sa pinadaya kapitulo 12, nagpadayag diya og man child. Nagpasabot kini nga usa ka grupo, usa ka hindi usa nga nawat diya kang Kristo.
Siya ang pangulo
o
kita ang body.
Yeah, si Kristo mo ang ulo.
Lawas.
Kita ang lawas. Dili ang ulo ka ng labo-labo na to. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Just a note on what Brother Thomas was saying. As you read through the Bible in the Old Testament, and you get the history of the kings of Israel and the kings of Judah, there is a very interesting note in what the Bible says about the king and his mother. In almost every situation, the Bible will say that this king did right. In the sight of the Lord, and his mother was so and so. Or he would say, this king did wicked in the sight of the Lord, and his mother was so and so. And by virtue of the fact that the mother is included in the documentation of righteousness or unrighteousness, she is a very responsible party for it. Praise the Lord. Can we, is it possible to bring that down here?
Yeah.
Do we have, this chalk works, right?
But that board is weak, but it's okay.
It's what? It's not very sturdy?
Not a strong one.
Okay, well, I'll try to be easy.
Okay.
Here, move it back. Praise the Lord. I want to talk to you. I want to kind of go back over. Some of you weren't there yesterday, I don't think. How many of you were in the meeting yesterday? Okay, a lot of you weren't. All right. Before I want to establish for you, and for those of you that were there yesterday, they say repetition is the best teacher. Hearing it over and over again.
Repetition.
Over and over and over and over again. They say that repetition is the best teacher. Now, I'm not going to really get into it. You can be good Bible students. And get into your Bibles and study it out. But God's purpose or God's plan for us that is you and me, is not to get us into heaven someplace, somewhere. God's purpose from the beginning of the world was that He wanted to come from where He was into us. The church says that we have to wait to get to heaven. But the Bible tells me, and I'm sure your Bible must say the same thing, that the kingdom of heaven is within us. The kingdom of heaven is within you.
So,
that means that you have a little piece of heaven. You have heaven. You have heaven. You have heaven. You have heaven. If you have God, if you have an experience of salvation with God, something of God is in you. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to think about that a minute. Just think that there is something of God in you. Not something of God way out there somewhere that you are waiting to see or to understand, but there is something of God that is in you. Hallelujah. That means that wherever you go, think about it. Wherever you go, God is there. It is not contingent. Do you know the word? It does not rely. It does not rely on you going to God. Sometimes we think God is afar off. We built this this imaginary kingdom called heaven. And somewhere in that kingdom there is this entity that is called God. And wherever I am, it's always a long distance between me and Him. And it's like I'm kind of wandering around out here in the wilderness, wandering, just wandering around. I know there's God there somewhere, out there, far away, but I'm down here in this wilderness. I'm down here in this wilderness. But that isn't the concept that is written in the Bible. Wherever you go, if you are born again, now if you're not born again, you better get born again if you want God. And if you are born again and you're not baptized in the Holy Ghost, then you better get baptized in the Holy Ghost. Because it's the Holy Ghost that opens the avenue in you to God. That is in you. Now, I am not talking a church doctrine. I am talking to you of a spiritual principle that is in God's heart. The Bible says that God wants to do what? He wants to walk, and He wants to talk in you. Not in a church building. Huh? So, in reality, well, is what God wants to do is when you walk out of here onto the street, God wants you to take church with you. So that you not only become a walking, talking church, a walking, talking church. Come on. But you become a manifestation of the God that is in you. Come on. God wants you to be like Him. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to be like me or I have to be like you.
Amen.
Oh boy. God is so big. God is so large. We don't have words to express what and who God is. That is going to take all of humanity coming together under the blood of Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God to paint a picture that you can see that is God. Boy, you don't understand me, do you?
Amen.
You're like a piece of God. And this piece of God is going to fit with this piece of God.
Amen.
And when I look at that, I see more of God.
Amen.
And then I see this piece of God. So that means I can't look at you like you're nothing. I can't look at you like you're nothing. I have to look at you in a different way. It doesn't make any difference if I don't like you or you don't like me. It has nothing to do with it. In fact, you may not like me. I may agitate you. I may irritate you. But if I have the blood of Jesus Christ, if I have the Spirit of God in me, there is an expectation that God has concerning me that you have to be aware of. So it is that we have to know what it is that God is doing and where He is bringing me, where He is bringing you and brother, our sister, or whatever. If there is a desire of God, then I have to have that position of understanding in my relationship, in my relationship with you. I want to tell you something else. God cannot do it without you.
Amen.
I don't know if you can think of God not being able to do something.
It would be contrary to His plan.
But God limits Himself. God puts a limit upon Himself.
Ang Diyos doon nag-limitasyon diha kaniya.
And that limitation is on the basis of what you or I desire concerning Him.
Punya kanan mao nga mga kasulangan. May tungod kini kanimo og tanako nya nga wala mahimo ang Dios.
If you desire God,
kung nagtinguha ka sa Dios,
and you want God,
nya imong gusto ka nga,
then God will give you whatever you need to get to that position and that place.
Amen.
God will give you whatever you need to get to that position and that place. Can you say amen?
Amen.
If you have your Bibles, you might want to open them to Matthew 13. Yes, Matthew chapter 13. Whoops, sorry. I went to chalk. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Let us read first of all some scripture here. Verse number one, I'll read a couple of verses, and when I stop I'll let you read, alright? The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the sea, and a great multitude were gathered unto Him, so that He went into the ship and sat, and the whole multitude sat on the shore. And He spake many things unto them in parable saying. I'll stop right there for right now. One, two, three, in the first, one, two, in the first part of three. He spake unto them many things in parable. Now, parables, do you know what parables are, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. Everybody understands parables. Let us go down to verse 10. And it says, and the disciples came and said unto Him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And He answered, Jesus did, and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given.
So
na pagkasagot sa mga nanaginon. Galing niyo bitugo na pagsagot sa mga tinaguan, may tungod sa kiharian sa langit apang kanila wala kini.
That was verse 10 and 11, right?
Yeah.
So first of all, we know that Jesus was telling them something very spiritual.
Una, atong nasabtan din nga nag-istorya o nag-hitkot ang Diyos may tungod sa mga sa pagkaespirituhanon gayon.
And that it dealt with the kingdom of heaven.
O gana, may tungod sa gingharian sa Diyos.
And that the thing about the king of heaven was hidden.
O may tungod sa
it was hidden, like you hide something in the story that he was telling. There was something hidden in the story that he was telling. Hallelujah. Now, there are two things here that this thing tells us. This story tells us. One is there is a people that will hear.
Una, dunay mga tao nga magapaminaw.
Will hear. One, there is a people that will hear. Right? Will hear. Two, there is a people that will not hear. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
What determines what category that you or I would fall in? What determines what position that you or I would fall into? What would determine? Huh?
My response to God.
You know the back of the book. What is going to determine where you are in the category of the people that hear or don't hear? It's not difficult. It's really not difficult. It's not difficult. If you want to hear, you're going to want to listen. If you want to hear, you're going to ask questions. If you want to hear, you're going to be digging into the thing. You know, anybody could have come to Jesus after he said the parable. Did you hear me? Anybody could have come to Jesus after he said the parable. Everybody had an opportunity to approach Jesus to ask him. But what made them eligible to hear? What made them eligible to hear was that they went to Jesus and asked him, what did you mean by the parable? We need to learn to question God's word concerning His will for us. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That doesn't mean somebody comes with a revelation or a teaching and we just hear it and take it and run. But we are to take the word that we hear, go to the Lord and ask Him for the understanding of what it is He is saying. and what his desire is for me in that thing that I am hearing. For too long, the church, for too long the church has just come in the door and sat in the chair. And then got up and walked out the door. And when they walked out the door, they left church back there. And God is not interested in that type of a church. There is a illustration in the Bible that is called the Tabernacle of the Wilderness. It's a drawing that God gave to Moses. And God was very, very precise.
Exact.
He said, number one. All right. He said, you take this post and you put it in this hole.
Alright?
And you take this post and you put it in this hole. That's just an illustration of being exact. He told Moses that Moses was to build the tabernacle. According to the pattern that God had showed him in the Holy Mount. Did it say Holy Mount or just Mount? We know where it was. So there's this thing that God gave Moses is a plan of God for sons.
Para sa anak.
It's a plan that God has in the scripture that tells us the process by which we are to become sons. Now there are many expressions in the Bible that express the thought of sons.
Daghan kayo ang mga pinulungan nga gisgutan din sa Biblia nga naglarawan sa anak.
One of those expressions is called first fruits.
Usan niya na sa pinulungan mao ang ginganlan o unang mga bunga.
One of the another expression is 144,000. All of those things are indicative or mean that God wants sons. And sons means men and women. It doesn't mean just men, it means men and women. But what it is contingent upon, or what it sets on, is the desire that you have individually for God.
Kini kita ay nagalarawan kita ay nakitang tanano sa kung saan nato para gayon kita o iya gayon kita sa.
There are 7 pieces of furniture in the tabernacle.
Dunay pito ka mga kasiklasing butang sulod sa tabernacle.
We have the brazen altar.
Dunay halaran dili nga.
We have the brazen laver. We have the golden candlestick. Alright.
Number three
is the golden candlestick. Number four is the table of showbread. Number five is the golden altar of incense. Number six is the mercy seat.
Number six,
mercy seat. And number seven is the Ark of the Covenant. Hallelujah. These articles of furniture are seven works of grace.
Pito ka mga butang, nag-isgot ka na sa pito ka matang sa gracia
that God does in order to get you and I to a place by which He might inhabit us. Not inhabit us in a part or a piece.
Hindi kong ingon niya, basabot niya, makaangkon ka o sa butang.
But come into us in His fullness.
Kundi niya, makadool kita diha sa iyang pagkapuno o pagkahimpit.
This place is called the Holy of Holies.
Kininga mo ang dapit, ginanran kini o pinakabalaan.
It is representation of the Spirit of God.
Nagpagalag ka na sa Espiritu sa Diyos.
It is where God dwells. Once a year, the priests would go into the holies of holies for the purpose of what? He would meet with God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
This portion was called the holy place. This is the place or the work of the Spirit of God. This is the outer court. Hallelujah. All of this had a wall all the way around it, and you could not see in from the outside. When the Bible says in John chapter 17, he says that we are in the world, but we are not of the world. You don't have to read it. We don't have that much time. This tabernacle existed in the world, but it was a world of its own. It was a realm of its own. And God here is sending out His Spirit to the world to draw you and I into Him. And as He draws us into Him, there are certain stages of development that happen that qualify us to wind up in this position, in this place. Hello? Are you going to sleep, Mommy? You ate too much. You're like little babies. You got your tummy full, and now you want to take your nap. Huh? Right. Praise the Lord. Well, at least you... Well, at least. Did I get it? At least you stuck around for the spiritual food. Don't tell me you need a chair to sit on.
Yeah, because of only one.
Oh, okay. All right. All right, sit down, sir.
Maybe sometime or some minute. Because I only carry my body with only one leg.
You what?
Because my one leg is short.
One leg is short?
Yeah, because of an accident.
I see. Well, why don't we just lay hands on it and pray for it?
No, it's okay.
Can I do that?
Yeah.
Which leg is it?
This
I see, that one, huh?
Yeah.
Father, we come by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Oh, hallelujah.
You have the power of restoration.
Yeah.
You have the power of creation.
Yeah.
You have the power of restitution.
Yeah.
We are asking, Father, for the move of your Holy Spirit in the midst of his leg, that it would be that you would give it the strength that is needed, the health, the vitality.
Yeah.
Father, that he might be able to stand and to do the work of God. We thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 So God is calling us out of the world. Huh? He's calling us out of the world into the kingdom of God. You can also say that the activity that happens in this realm is the activity of the kingdom of God. Now, I can prove that by scripture. Turn with me to John. John chapter 3. I'm going to tell you this is God's gospel and not Brother Bert's gospel. Hallelujah. All right, chapter 3, verse 1. And there was a man, a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Hallelujah. Much like the church system. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him.
Kinitawanan yetong ito sa takna sa gabi o nagmingan kaniya, Rabbi, kami nasayad ni ka mo ay usa ka magtutudlo nagikan sa Dios kay wala gayong makahimo nini mga milagro nga imong imong gipang buhat gawas lamang kon ang Dios ang nauban kaniya.
That's verse 1 and 2.
Yeah.
And Jesus said unto him, now listen to what he said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
Sapagkatinon, magayon ako kanimo. Gawas ko ng tao, igaanak pag-usap, diri siya makakita sa giharian sa Dios.
Now this, the first thing that this scripture tells me is that God wants you and I to be able to see. Hello? He wants you and I to be able to see the kingdom of God. Now, he did not say, I want you to imagine the kingdom of God.
Imagine.
Huh? He didn't say, I want you to imagine the kingdom of God. He said, I want you to see the kingdom of God. So, when you are born again, it doesn't make you a member of a church. The first thing it does is give you spiritual sight. You were blind, and now you can see. Do you remember the story in the Bible about the blind man that Jesus healed? He was blind from his birth. The disciples came to him and said, "Master, what sin? What sin did this man commit, or did his parents commit, that he was born blind?" Hallelujah. And Jesus said, "It was not for sin that he was born blind, but he was born blind that there could be a demonstration that would glorify and manifest God." That man is you and me. That man is you and me. By sin, by sin of one man, sin came into the world, and death passed upon all men. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. In John chapter 1, keep your finger there. This is the light that shineth.
Verse 5.
Okay, yes. It says in John chapter 1, verse 5, talking about Jesus, and it says, "And the light shineth in a dark, light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." You can sit down, brother, if you want to. But that's not the one, really the one I want. But go ahead, read it. It says that this is the light that lighteth every man. Huh?
Verse 9.
Yes. All right. Okay. We just didn't read down for it. Verse 7. The same came, John came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, John wasn't, but was sent to bear witness of the light, which was Jesus. That was the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, when we were in India, we had a conference where we brought many people from many different places. And many of the men were shepherds of little groups. And one of the most amazing things to me was their testimony. One of the men was a drunkard. He was very brutal. He was physically brutal. And he was a Hindu, very, very. But one day, while he was out in the bush, Jesus came to him and began to talk to him about his need to be saved. Hallelujah. I'm talking to you about the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. It makes no difference where they are, what they are, or what they're doing. Jesus will light them or give them an opportunity. Well, out of that experience, the man got saved. But what Jesus told him was that there would be a man coming who would talk to him out of a black book and explain to him those things that pertain to him, Jesus, and the realm of heaven in which he was living in. God is so absolutely capable of doing his business, and he is now giving us an opportunity to understand those things that pertain to the place or the desire that he has for you and I in tabernacle, or meeting with us in a very personal way. The other thing that this tells me is that it's really just the start of a situation. It's not the finish, it's just the start. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, once you get saved, in a lot of churches, that's it. You just hang on till Jesus comes. You just do the best you can do. And maybe you do good, maybe you don't. But you had your salvation experience, so you can just hang around till Jesus comes.
Raptured.
You understand what I'm saying?
What about gonna,
or you could just hang around till Jesus comes. Hallelujah. But really, salvation, which is representative of the brazen altar, is only the first step. All it does is give you the ability to be inside to see the operation of God. But you can only see it from afar off. Do you understand? You can only see it from afar off. So, what the blood has done for you is got you inside of God's business to be able to give you an understanding the depths of God. And yet there are many things yet that need to be done before you can arrive at this point that God desires you to be. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
My goodness, putting you to sleep. So he says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now listen to what Jesus, what Nicodemus says back to him. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Nicodemus was still down here looking this way. He was still thinking in a natural mindset. It hadn't yet sunk into him that there was a higher realm, a higher position, that he could be in. Now, look how Jesus answered him. He said, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. What Jesus is saying, now that you've done step one, you have to do step two. Now, step one gave you the ability to enter and to be able to see the kingdom of God. But step two, which is baptism, baptism in water, baptism in Holy Ghost, that baptism or that experience gives you the ability to enter into the kingdom of God. So everything on this side of the door is pertinent to the kingdom of God. It is representative of a spiritual position, a spiritual realm. And Jesus said, that which is born of flesh is flesh. And that which is born of spirit is spirit. So, if you haven't been born again, you need to be born again. And if you haven't been born of the water and of the Spirit, you need to be born of the water and the Spirit. Now, you have to want it. You have to want it. If you don't want it, then you won't get it. If you don't want it, then nothing that God can do for you or would do for you would be of any value to you. You have to want it. When I was a young man and I was seeking the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I got saved in the Baptist church back here at the brazen altar. I got baptized spirit baptism in the Pentecostal church. And it wasn't a really easy thing for me. I think that God just wanted to see how bad I really wanted it. The baptism of the Holy Ghost. And this Pentecostal church was having what they call a revival. And I guess it was a revival because I got revived. I guess it was a revival because I got revived. And I don't know, I may have been the only one that got revived. I don't know. But every night after the meeting, they would have what they call an altar call. And they would invite anybody and everybody that wanted to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, come down to the altar and pray. Well, I went down the first night, knelt down, and there was maybe four or five people around me laying hands on me, praying for me, encouraging me, you know, instructing me how to speak in tongues, you know, the routine. And I was down there and I prayed and I prayed and I wept and I prayed some more, and nothing happened. So I come back the next night and they give an altar call, and I come down to the altar and I'm down there on my knees, and there might be four or five around me, and they're praying and they're laying hands on me and they're speaking in tongues and they're rebuking the devil and they're doing all these things, and I pray and I weep and I pray some more and I repent of every sin that I can think of, just trying to get myself cleaned up enough for God to come in. Finally, they turned the lights out and I had to go home. So I come back the next night. So I come back the next night and they give an altar call. I come down to the altar. I kneel down and I start praying. I kind of stopped praying and I kind of looked around. And the crowd around me, there's not too many there now. There's only about three people that are praying for me. So I go down and I'm kind of thinking, well, maybe I'm just a hopeless case. A hopeless case. Everybody's giving up on me. And so I get down there and that makes me cry and weep and repent more. And nothing happens. They turn the lights off again. And we all have to go home. So finally, 7 nights. They give the altar call. I'm the only one that gets up to go down. I kneel down and start praying. I don't know what else to say, so I'm just quiet. I've run out of things to repent of. I don't know what else to say. I just kind of throw myself on the mercy of God. And finally, I'm by myself. Nobody's there. Just me and God. And a little old man, gray hair, comes up beside me, kneels down with me, puts his arm around me, and he just starts weeping. And I'm thinking, oh boy, I'm so bad that he has to weep with me and for me. But I can just feel the love of God coming out of him. And it just begins to minister to my soul. And you know, I'm sitting there, you know, and I'm feeling the presence of God, and this little man, he begins to speak softly in tongues, just worshiping the Lord, praying for me, making intercession for my soul, and all of a sudden, I think I'm going crazy. I really think I'm going crazy. Because in this year, I can hear him speaking in tongues. But in this ear, I'm hearing the interpretation. I'm hearing English. So I'm like this. Listening to tongues, hearing the interpretation. Listening to tongues, hearing the interpretation. And he'd speak in tongues. And then the Lord would say, son. And then he would speak in tongues. He said, and then I'd hear, I have given you what you have asked of me from the very beginning. He says, all you have to do is open your mouth and praise me. So I open my mouth and begin to praise him. And the Spirit fell, and out comes my tongue praising and worshiping the God. I often think, what would have happened if I would have stopped on the third day? What would have happened if I stopped on the fifth day? What if at the sixth day I gave up and decided it wasn't going to happen? It took seven times down at the altar for me. There was something of a tenacity. There was something of a desire that had to be birthed in me that would create within me a hunger for the thing that God was wanting to give me. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Glory to God!
Hallelujah!
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 You know, there's a story in the Bible about a woman who had an issue of blood. And that woman had come to the realization that unless she touched Jesus, she was a dead woman. Now, her strength had abated, it had gone away. There was a great crowd of people around Jesus. Not only that, but according to Jewish law, The woman was unclean. Now, and there were rabbis all around Jesus. And if that woman touched any one of those rabbis, it was a stonable offense. They could take her out and stone her. But this woman had come to the conclusion she was dead anyway. And that she needed this thing that was in Jesus. And she pressed through. Now, I want you to understand something here. Jesus was not aware that her presence or the fact of what she was intending to do. But she pressed in and pressed through. And when she grabbed a hold of that garment, virtue. Virtue flowed out of him into her being, and she was healed. By her tenacity, her determination, she created the opportunity for God to flow. That is the power that you have with regards to God and his ability to draw nigh to you. Hallelujah. The Bible says that if you will draw nigh unto God, God will draw nigh unto you. And he will not only draw nigh unto you, but he will bring you with him back. That is God.
Amen.
It's up to you.
Amen.
It's up to you. It's up to you. You know, as a young man, who desired God, I had to do a lot of fasting and praying. I had to do a lot of fasting and praying. And it was the fasting and praying. Praying for God to deliver me. Praying for God to save me. Praying for God to change me. Fasting and praying. God, you have to change me. I do not want to live in this condition. I do not want to live with this infirmity. I do not want to live with this sin. I do not want to live with this ability of flesh. You have to deliver me. You either kill me or deliver me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's up to you.
Amen.
God will draw nigh to you. God will manifest Himself to you. God will deliver you. God will change your circumstances. Hallelujah. And the change will always be to better your potential and your possibilities of Him being in you. So God bless you.